Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Lamar Jackson met with the Baltimore Press after signing his five-year extension. We are going to have more on that shortly. But first, welcome into Good Morning Football. We are live in New York City. It is Friday, May 5th, which means everyone is in a great mood. I'm Sarah Walsh alongside Kyle Brandt, Jason McCourty, and Mike Garofalo. Broncos quarterback Pat Surtain going to be joining us later in the studio. It is Friday, guys. This is it. This is the last leg, and we're getting off into the weekend. It's time for the lead block.
Lead block.
And Lamar, it is a done deal. Lamar Jackson signed his five-year, $260 million extension, and per Ian Rappaport, received $72.5 million at signing, along with $185 million in total guarantees. He also gets a full no trade, no tag clause in that deal. Yesterday, he was asked what it was like dealing with other teams during this process.
To be honest with you, I really didn't care for other teams, really. I just really wanted to get something done here. I wanted to be here. It was like, man, okay, other teams cool, but I want to be a Raven. Before my time up and branch off somewhere else, you know, I really want to finish my career here and win the Super Bowl here. I'm very eager. I'm very eager, Cliff, to be honest with you. You know, I think I told someone, like, man, I want to throw for, like, 6,000 yards with the weapons we have. Like, you know, and I'm not an individual award type of guy or a stat watcher, you know. I just want to do that, you know, because no one ever done it, and I feel like we have the weapons to do it. You know, we got explosive guys. And like Coach said, Nelson, you know, the new addition, Zay, OBJ, and we got Bateman going to be 100% healthy, dude. We're going to be healthy, you know. Can't forget about Mark. Can't forget about my boy Mark. And, you know, likely, so it's just can't wait to get rolling.
So Lamar has a long list of guys that he can't wait to start working with once again. We're going to get to that potentially explosive offense under new offensive coordinator Todd Monken in a moment. But first, if Lamar didn't really care for other teams, why did he request a trade?
Interesting.
Mike is our insider. Mike, take us through that process.
You need an insider for this one? I don't think you do. I think you know that this is the playbook by now. Did he ever unfollow the Ravens on social media?
That's usually part of it.
That's the move now, right? Like even Jeffrey Simmons, who just signed a monster deal with the Titans, he then refollowed the Titans after he signed the deal. Yeah. And the Titans were like, oh, got the follow back. We're all good, right? Like, that's what you get for $20-plus million.
You unfollow, and then you scrub all the pictures of you and the Ravens in your past pictures, right? That's
Kyler
standard op.
Right? Kyler refollowed again, right?
Kyler was back, which I don't even know where. It just disappeared into the ether, and then all those pictures came back. I don't even know how to
do that.
You can do that. It just it goes to an archive. So, like, when you're mad at your significant other, you just archive it, and then you bring it back.
You speak from experience.
I didn't, but what did I try to do once? But you can take something off, and like if you need to fix it. Yeah, there you go.
There it is. I don't even know how to connect the audio on a Zoom.
They must teach this stuff at the NFL PA rookie premiere.
The symposium?
They must. I don't know. I mean, because I mean, we've seen a lot of this. Some of the trade requests are real. Some of the trades are not. In this case, it wasn't real, but it was a negotiating tactic apparently on Lamar Jackson's part. It's almost like the famous philosopher Steven Tyler once said, you're packing up your stuff and talking like it's tough, trying to tell me that it's time to go. Yeah!
Oh, nice.
But I know you ain't wearing nothing underneath that overcoat. That's basically what happened in this case with Lamar Jackson. So, look, all this consternation for quite some time resulted in not only that big contract, but also an offensive coordinator now that I'm going to talk about in a couple seconds, and some weapons around him. Lamar Jackson finally got what he wanted, and yesterday they got to celebrate.
And now this offense could potentially be incredibly explosive. Does it feel like it could be as explosive as Lamar believes it can be, Jason?
Yeah, the Ravens got a ton of weapons, but their biggest weapon they got was just Lamar coming back.
I think he
is the explosive weapon of that offense, and we've gotten to see that over the last few years. When Lamar Jackson has the ball in his hands, we know anything can happen, whether he's running down the field himself with it, whether he's making a long pass down the field. He is the guy for the Baltimore Ravens. He attracts so much attention as we see him tossing the ball all the way down the field right here to Bateman. Lamar Jackson's the guy, and there's only been one time through his career where he's thrown for over 3,000 yards. That was just 3,100. I think this year he's over 4,000. 6,000 is a lot to chew off. I don't know if they're going to get all the way up to 6K. But when you think about Lamar Jackson, the first thing you think about is explosive excitement. And you get a visual of him running down the field against Miami for like a 70, 80 yard touchdown. Yeah. And that for this Baltimore Ravens offense, I think this is still going to be the bread and butter, the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands and him just being the point guard and being creative with it. What's exciting this year is we haven't talked about in years past the weapons that he'll have on the outside. We've obviously been able to see Mark Andrews and everything he can do, but that's his big tight end, his reliable target. Now to have a guy like Zay Flowers, who's a playmaker, to have Odell Beckham in there, to be able to mix these guys up, I think that is going to make the difference. And obviously new OC Todd Monken is going to be the difference maker of now why the entire offense will be explosive, not just Lamar Jackson.
It cracks me up just even looking at and hearing the term 6,000 yards. And I think of our brothers and sisters in the fantasy football community. Like that's fantasy football pornography. I'll just put it out there. I mean, that's our guy Adam Rank, Field Yates. Like, get after that quote and just can do a whole week of shows. All of it is based on a lot of potential. Yes, they could go crazy, or they could not. I think it's interesting when Lamar was listing all his weapons, and he really did a good job of it, and he was listing everybody, all the way at the end, and I can't forget Mark Andrews, my guy Mark. The only thing I see is rock solid when Lamar drops back to pass next year is Mark Andrews, as reliable as they come. But let's just go down. Rashad Bateman, we're waiting and we're hoping. Odell, I think, we hope, don't know. Haven't seen him in a long time. Zay Flowers, rookie, don't know. I mean, we saw Rodgers with a really talented rookie last year, and it took a long time for that to get going, got it off to a dubious start. So it is really talented, and it is really electric. But who isn't in that division? Like, you're telling me right now, you're like, I like the Ravens over the Bengals because Lamar signed up for a lot of money. I like the Ravens, too. It's not a lot of guys who come back like Jamar or T. Higgins. Like, it is not these old Ravens war horses that have lined up for the last 3 or 4 years you can always count on, except for Andrews. So it's a lot of toys, Mike. And it's a lot of expensive toys, and it's a lot of flashy toys, and really fun toys. I don't know if Lamar can play as well with them as he thinks yet.
Let's hand Todd Monken the baton and have him be the conductor of this great orchestra. And I think we're beyond the point of, this is a weird thing, how many years ago was it? I guess when Chip Kelly was running, so it's like, we're talking 7, 8 years ago, where it was like, oh, the more advanced offensive schemes and ideas and philosophies are at the college level, which never really made any sense to me, right? Like, why are we looking backward? Not backward, but you're dropping to a lower level of competition.
There was the time when Chip Kelly would hold up the signs on the sideline with, like, a sandwich and Dog the Bounty Hunter, and we're like, wow, what are you doing?
Yeah, and it's like, well, we need to get these innovative
1,000 plays,
to the highest paid,
the game's changing,
highest trained coaches. And like, what are we doing here? But anyway, I think we're beyond that, but the fact that Todd Monken did dip into the college level, now coming back to the NFL, potentially with fresh ideas, but the last time we saw him as an offensive coordinator in the NFL level, pretty impressive from an offensive passing standpoint. 2017, the number 4 passing team in the league with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then 2018, number 1, and not only number 1, you could say maybe they were behind, they were throwing a lot, whatever, but yards per attempt, 2nd in the league that year. So there is an explosive element of Todd Monken's offense that the Ravens hope they're going to unlock here.
I think my biggest takeaway is, I know there was times, especially when I was here the week of free agency, I was up here with you guys for a week, and it was Aaron Rodgers, it was Lamar Jackson. That's all we were talking about. there has to be a massive sense of relief. I think we all sort of thought it was going to end this way in Baltimore. He's going to be back. We're going to do this whole dog and pony show. He's going to be back. But to actually be at that table like he was yesterday, to actually set, there has to be a massive sense of relief of just get this thing over, get it behind me. I have to play the business card of I'm my own age. Like all of it, it had to play out the way it did. But for Lamar, there has to be such a weight off your shoulders of now I can just go to work. And then when you see the laundry list, I want to talk about one of those explicit new toys. Because OBJ, I know there's the questions. He's very expensive. I mean, when you see him and it's just the workouts, I'm like, oh, my God, that's the OBJ we knew. Right? I still want to live in that world of I think this guy, 2,000 to 6,000 yards going to this guy. The last time we saw him in action was the Super Bowl, very limited, two catches, a touchdown, 52 yards. But doesn't it feel like that Super Bowl was 500 years ago?
It does.
We're 2 years removed from that Super Bowl when we last saw OBJ play. Mm-hmm. It feels like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, the positive side of that is he's had a lot of time to recover. He's had a lot of time to get back. This isn't a guy that's just fresh off this injury coming back. This is a guy that should be fully healthy, you would think, aside from not being in game competition. So I'm really psyched about it. I really think, I hope that he has a massive, massive breakout year for this team.
6,000 yards. You know how many yards per game that is?
What do you got?
Break it down. 352.941176. So 352 yards per game. Right. Average.
Well, that you don't hit 350 every week. Some weeks you hit 500. Oh, okay. Bring it up. That's how you get to 350 a week, Mike. That's just math.
I like
very
it.
Very excited. I do too.
I like throwing
if these
that
guys
out
hit,
there.
If Bateman comes up and blows up, and if Zay Flowers hits, this is electric. If they guys hit, then they got the Bengals if Joe Burrow could run a 4-3. Like, then that's some guess on. But we'll see.
It has been a while since I've been standing up here talking defense and getting excited about a big interception, a big hit, and do a little ooh-wee. But these are just rookies that we're going to be talking about today, guys that were just drafted into the league, so they don't garnish the same type of excitement. They haven't earned it yet, but we still want to see who becomes on the watch list for an appearance next season on our ooh-wee segment. And we got to start it off overall with a DB that was drafted. The first one off the board in the draft a weekend ago. We're going out west to Seattle. Devin Witherspoon, cornerback out of Illinois. The first guy that came off the board. I loved watching this guy because he can cover, gave up zero touchdowns last year, but my goodness, he doesn't mind a hit. Coming off the edge on a blitz right here. Running back, quarterback, doesn't matter who gets the ball. Shoot the hips, get him on the ground, Mr. Witherspoon. That's what you love to see from a DB. It's not just covering guys, but then once you make the hit, you got to get up, get excited, get your teammates in it. We know his former college teammate, Kirby Joseph, a guy who has made an appearance on that list as well. From one DB to another DB, Emmanuel Forbes going to the Washington Commanders, 16th overall. This guy Forbes, we talked about his size and all of that, how much he weighs, his frame, but the guy can play some football. Led the nation in pick sixes for his career with six of them. It's not just making plays on defense. You make plays whenever you're on the field, and Emmanuel Forbes does that. And he'll also hit you. Don't be surprised by his size and his interceptions. He doesn't mind coming up making a tackle. Six interceptions last year, and that is why he went 16th overall to the Commanders. That's enough of the DBs. Let's go look at somebody that's hitting a linebacker. Drew Sanders drafted to the Denver Broncos in the third round. This guy. This is so you're gonna love this guy.
Okay.
He comes up and he'll make a hit. Denver Broncos, watch out. You got a guy that is coming in there to make hits play after play. Now let's look at a guy who went to the Arizona Cardinals, fifth round, Owen Papoe. And the thing about him, I'm like, let me do a little research on our guy, Owen. On Twitter, his name, his handle is The Freak.
Nice.
The Freak.
Okay.
This guy, 4.39 at the combine. Owen Papoe with the huge hit. He is going to be bringing that to Sundays. And last and finally, but not least, an undrafted player. Undrafted. You got to give those guys love, too. To the Philadelphia Eagles, Mekhi Gardner. This guy, a big DB. Cornerback, could be playing some safety as well in the league. Over 200 pounds, 6'2". He's a big DB out there making hits. An undrafted guy. He'll show up on special teams early on. He'll be a guy we'll be watching in the preseason to be able to make a big hit. That is what I love, making plays each and every week. These guys are watch list for a little bit of a ooh-wee segment. Mike, what do you think of the list? What do you think of these guys and their potential to show up on Sundays on the defensive side of the ball.
Devin Witherspoon, I'm looking at it. I said, this guy is definitely a Dan Campbell type guy. Mm. And Christian Gonzalez slid a little bit in the first round. It's because Witherspoon was seen as the guy that plays with that edge, that physicality. And you saw that all over the film. And I know that that's why, when I said Dan Campbell, by the way, I thought he was going to the Lions at six. Yeah. That was the floor for me. That's why when he went to the Seahawks, I said that fits in with their mentality and everything that they do right there.
I'm in on your guy, Owen.
Yeah.
All in on your guy,
that's
Owen.
All you need to see.
And then back to Witherspoon, I was just thinking as you were going through this and you're talking about the Seahawks, I mean, they had like an all-world draft class last year. What that Seahawks team did in the front office and those guys that they put together. So if he pans out the way, you know, he's expected to pan out, I just think about the Seahawks defense and how loaded they are with young talent that produces immediately, which also you look at Devin and you go, yeah, these guys just jumped in right away and kind of just ran away with it. So you don't get like a warm, we don't need the warm-ups here in Seattle. These guys have been like jumping right in with their draft classes.
Tariq Woolen and Kobe Bryant, two rookie cornerbacks last year that played a lot of football for Seattle. They'll plug Witherspoon in there as well as the third guy.
Jason, I don't need much, but I think I might need an Owen Papoe Cardinals jersey. On Twitter, it is The Freak, and it's not. There's no underscore. No. There's no. It's just at The Freak. Owen Papoe, War Eagle. Listen, I don't know how many games the Cardinals are going to win this year. They've taken a lot of heat in over draft season about their lack of talent. We're going to hype him next year. I don't care where he ends up at. 168th pick. Papoe! I love him.
You just started something right there. Every time he makes a hit, that's what they're going to Papoe! When the hit comes across. But it's not just the young guys making plays. We want to look at a young player in the league that's been making plays week in, week out. And Sarah, you mentioned it. Pat Surtain, he is going to be joining us. And this guy is a playmaker, a ball hawk, but also a guy that wants to get on the line of scrimmage in your face and challenge you. This is the type of corner week in and week out follows the best receivers on the football field. And when he's at the line, he is smooth with his technique. He is patient, and that's what you love to see from a DB. A young guy early on that is showing, hey, I'm here, I'm gonna receive the accolades, ninth overall pick, Pro Bowl selection already, first team all pro. He came in and he said, hey, I'm one of the best cornerbacks in the entire NFL, and I'm excited to get this guy in studio and give him a little bit of love for how well he plays.
You know what I want to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
So last fall, for about 48 hours, the biggest story in sports was that Russell Wilson did high knees up and down the aisle. We had Kareem Jackson, who is a Broncos defensive back, right here at the table. We said, what was that like? And he's like, I slept through it, but when I got off the plane, we have a DB text chain on the Broncos. And Pat Surtain texted us like, bro, did you guys see Russ on the flight? So we have to ask Pat about that. What was it like? What did you think? Because that was massive. I think it's still massive. I can't wait to talk to Pat about that.
Oh, yeah, love. That's all. That's the only question we need to know. That's it. We
that's
find that out.
Thanks for coming, Pat.
Thanks for coming. Enjoy the offseason.
That's happening right off the top.
I hope he saved the text.
Us.
We could, that'd be great.
Coming up, Jessica Alba has spoken. We're going to hear what she has to say about the Jets' young superstar next. This will be good.
Sauce said he saw some of her movies but didn't recognize her. Sauce, stop lying. Come on.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Good morning, football.
Welcome back to Good Morning Football. It is time now for our buddy Will Silva on the West Coast. Will, what do you got?
What's up, Sarah? Good to have you there in studio. Happy Friday to all of you. We had Giants general manager Joe Shane on this here program, and he had talked about re-engaging in contract talks with running back Saquon Barkley. But little did we know, he was also working on another contract extension with another big-name player. NFL Network insiders Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport both reporting defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence is signing a four-year, $90 million extension with $60 million guaranteed. The per-year average of $22.5 million makes Lawrence the NFL's third highest-paid defensive tackle behind Aaron Donald and Jeffrey Simmons, who Mike G had mentioned earlier in the program. Meanwhile, more NFC East news as NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero reports Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter has agreed to terms on his four-year, $21.8 million rookie deal. As with all first-round deals, the contract comes with a fifth-year option. Carter was the ninth overall pick. Now, earlier in the week, we had heard from Sauce Gardner, who said that Aaron Rodgers was giving him a bad time for not knowing who actress Jessica Alba was. But the actress did tweet this out, and we have it for your viewing pleasure. LOL, I totally see how this kid Sauce got his name. He said to my girl, how can I get caught up when I'm in the catch? But in all honesty, he was actually very polite with his elder Aaron Rodgers and everyone else in the room. It was nice meeting you, Sauce Gardner. Well, after Sauce thanked his chaperone, Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers replied, chaperone? Elder? You are funny, Sauce Gardner. Glad to be helping you meet new people. So, Sauce Gardner wasn't necessarily starstruck being in the vicinity of one Jessica Alba. I know I would be. I'm sure all of you have celebrities that you would be starstruck if you met them. So, let me throw this out to all of you, starting with Mike G. Fill in the blank. You would be completely starstruck if you sat next to this person at a sporting event. Mike G?
Yeah.
Go first.
See, I would say, like, nobody, right? Because we hang around athletes all the time.
So, I struggled.
But it happened. Okay. It actually happened. I wasn't sitting next to her, but take me back to Super Bowl Houston. Brady's come back.
Super Bowl Houston's a good one.
Super Bowl Houston. Yep. Lady Gaga, halftime show, pregame. We're on the field getting ready for our hits. And I actually went to go talk to her dad because her dad has family in Philly where I grew up.
Mr. Gaga?
Yeah. So I went to go talk to him. I said, where's Mr. Germanata? And they said, well, he's over here. So I'm talking to him. And the mother's there, and there's a couple people there. And all of a sudden, everybody just goes silent. And I'm like, why is everybody just... And everybody looks up behind me. And I just turn around, and Lady Gaga's standing there just staring at me. And I was like, oh, hi, right? And so, and she's like, hi, and she moves along. So then I got a hit in 3 minutes. And I go stand, and Rappaport to this day still laughs about this. I'm freaking out. There's people all around me. Like, people around me putting the earpiece in, and I'm just like, everybody needs to step away. And I'm like, what is going on with me? I told my wife the story later. She's like, you were starstruck. Like, that's what happens. I said, I've never...
Diminutive woman, too, right?
Yeah, like, oh, God, yeah. She was. My eyes went here and then down here. She's like,
yeah.
It was amazing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
How do you follow that? Go ahead, Sarah. What do you got?
I know for a fact you guys aren't going to like this as much, but I was trying to think about not starstruck for the person, but starstruck because this person is the gatekeeper to all I hold near and dear.
What's going on? Roger Goodell?
Andy Cohen.
Oh, okay.
Because I would just be sitting there. He runs the Bravo universe, which is how I spend my evenings with the Vanderpumps, with the Real Housewives. So if I'm sitting next to him at, say, the Knicks game, and his phone's buzzy. I mean, who is it? Is it Teresa? Is it Melissa? Is it Ariana? I mean, it's just my whole world. I would get so excited. And to Mike's point about you're around people, so yeah, you're around the Gaga. The people I've gotten the most excited about are these random reality folks that I watch. This is how I spend my... You guys are probably like, okay, whatever. But you're like blank slate. No. Sarah, who are you? You know anybody I just mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of them are in New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah. In your neighborhood? We got Franklin Lakes, Franklin Heights. What's it? It's all in there.
You guys are never going to get down like that, right? Melissa's not.
Reality?
You're not going to be one of those. Melissa's like, one of the housewife thing.
Tiki Barber got sucked into that.
Okay. Stuff's not going well at home if we're on the show. It's not a good
sign. But what if she's like, Jason, if we go on this, I can get all these deals. I can launch this product line. That sell's not going to work for you?
No, it won't be a we can get these deals.
Yeah. By the way, Jason's like, I get up at 3 a.m. every day to do a football show. I'm bringing home the bacon. Mm. We're going to be fine. Mine is real as well. When I was a child, over my childhood bed, it was the poster of Bo Jackson wearing the shoulder pads with the bat. Mm. Like, that was the coolest poster ever. When I was not that young, when I was 20, I've told the story before, I went to a function in suburban Chicago where Bo lives, and Bo was there. And I really started freaking out. And I saw him from across the park. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Bo. That's Bo. It's the greatest athlete to ever live. And we get closer and closer and closer, and I'm like, I'm going to go meet Bo. And as I walk up to Bo, he puts his hand out, and I go, hi, I'm Bo. And he goes, oh, me too. There aren't a lot of us. And I go, yeah. And I'm, at this point, do I stop?
No.
Actually, no.
You're Bo.
Actually, I'm Kyle. I said your name because you're Bo. I didn't. Right. I just wrote it out. I just went by Bo the rest of the time.
By the way, Bo Brandt's a good name.
Bo Brandt's an awesome name. Yeah. We actually considered it for my son, and because it just rings. But my wife wanted to do BEAU, and that's no fun.
That's all. That was gonna be my question. What's the spelling?
Oh, right. Yeah. Vincent Bo Jackson is his real name. Anyway, here's this clip that we've seen 50,000 times as over. I tell the story. So anyway, if I ever run into Bo Jackson, and he's never been on Good Morning Football, if he ever comes on again, I will just go as Bo.
Hey, Bo, good to see you again.
And I want to be, you know, fonted as Bo, and he'd be like, "Yeah, you're that kid Bo that I met in the." Yeah, I'm sure he'll remember. So I am Bo Brandt for this one segment only in Bo Jackson's world. It really had totally unclutch of me. Hi, I'm Bo. Imagine if you met and said, "Hi, I'm Lady Gaga." That's what you would have done. Right? Yeah. And you would say, "Hi, I'm Andy." You are? Yeah. So, Jason.
You'd have just went with Gaga. I left the lady part out. For me, if I'm courtside at a basketball game and I find myself sitting next to Mark Hamill, I'll sit there and I'll be like,
"Yeah."
What? Like, I don't know if I'd be able to even get the words to come out.
What would you say?
To express. Yeah.
Who's your daddy?
There he is. He's pointing at you.
I'd understand the aura around him, the fame, the way people were looking, but it would kind of just be like, "Hey, Mark, like, you're amazing, but I'm not familiar with your work, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I really admire it, but could you just please let me in?" Similar to Sauce, as he sat courtside, he said, "I just got to kind of recognize it, but I'm not familiar with your work." So that would kind of be my starstruck moment. I just wouldn't know it in the moment.
Growing up, Mark Hamill was like your hero. You knew everything about him.
Poster on the wall, like, Luke and Darth Vader and the whole nine.
Who else?
Chewbacca's sitting there with his man Han Solo. Like Princess Leia. Let's go.
Wow.
Back on Good Morning Football after a segment where we had an upset. Kyle Brandt was able to beat me on Friday trivia. I'm not very proud of myself right now, but credit to Kyle Brandt for knowing something about everything. Now we have Sarah Walsh, who knows something about everything, but a little bit more about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Aside from the quarterback situation, Baker Mayfield's now there. How do you feel the Bucs did in the draft, some of the guys they brought in?
They obviously wanted to go after speed, and I said this earlier in the week on NFL Now. Of course, every team's going to say, "We want speed, right? We're not trying to draft slow players." But they really, really made it a point that we're going after this guy. He's fast. It's something Todd Bowles has harped on. I think the one thing that people were a little bit surprised about is that they didn't go out and get an offensive tackle. Donovan Smith, they let him go. He's now with the Kansas City Chiefs, just signed his deal there. So there's some question marks about what they're going to do there. But they did do something on the line. And Jason Light was very funny. He said he obviously has a type when it comes to his linemen. I don't know if we can put the picture up.
Okay.
And I know this is a guy that you guys have talked about. They drafted Cody Mauch out of North Dakota
State.
That's our guy.
He's very known for missing his front teeth and his flaming red hair. But look at their center. So this is what Jason Light is talking about. So this is Pro Bowl center Ryan Jensen holding up a picture of Cody after he got drafted. And he also said, Jason made the comment that Cody is basically a clone of Jensen and Kokeith. I know Schrager's a big fan of Kokeith,
sure,
the tight end there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got like a real like ginger armada down here in Tampa. I don't know what the stats are on that, but they're really paving the wave there. Cody, and I know you guys have talked to him on this show. I mean, he's funny. He's refreshing. Fifth generation farmer. There's a lot to be done here besides the work on the football field in terms of, you know, maybe the most interesting line in the league kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a fun and interesting. And now they got a new quarterback to protect, and who that quarterback is, we don't know yet. Although I'm told a lot of people believe that it'll be Baker by week one.
Is Jensen missing teeth too?
Well, he said, "How fast can you do the edits here?" So I think he might.
I see.
Not always. Yes. I think that might have been edited in. I don't know. At one point, they were punched out. He doesn't, put it this way, Cody said he's not getting those replaced anytime soon.
Right.
If Jensen at one point had teeth knocked out, I have not talked to him with his teeth knocked out. I think that might have been an edit. But this is what we got in Tampa.
I love it. You know who they need at quarterback? They got to find a way to get Andy Dalton in there. Just complete it. And then just bring him in. Let's go.
Said there's a tight still to come. We got familiar faces in new places. Baker is among them. Which new quarterback's going to shake things up the most? We'll break it down next.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
We've got Broncos cornerback Pat Surtain joining us later in the show. That's coming up here. But it is time for something new. It is time for our three-step drop.
Oh, sorry.
All right, so here's how this thing is going to work. We're going to focus on the 13 quarterbacks that are going to be on teams. They're projected to be new starters with their new teams in week one. They didn't start week one of last year with that team. That's how we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's well over a third of the league with new guys. So here's the first step. Which of the quarterbacks that you're looking at do you most want to see shake things up within their new team, okay, either within their team, their division, the fan base?
Yeah.
Mike, we're going to start with you. Who do you want to shake things up?
Point them out, Mike.
I'll go with Kyle's crush right off the bat here. I'll go with Jimmy Garoppolo. Right.
And the can't reason, go wrong there.
The reason that I say that is we came into last season talking about the AFC West and, oh, my goodness, and oh, da, da. And it wound up just being the Chiefs now. And the Broncos were a complete dud. The Raiders really didn't hang. The Chargers, you know, were kind of still talking about their head coaching situation and then basically hanging on. And so, you know what, Jimmy, come in here. Show people that you, as long as you're healthy, you're a quarterback that deserves to be a starting quarterback for a team in this league, and make the AFC West competitive. All of a sudden, the expectations for this division are at the floor now. So come on, Jimmy, shake it up.
Yeah, from one AFC West, a former guy, I'm going with Mr. Carr up here, top left, leaving the Raiders, joining the Saints, and I want to see spicy Derek Carr. We saw him at the Pro Bowl games where they said he did the precision passing and he was hot. And they said, man, you're back in Vegas, you're back in this stadium, and you're red hot. And his response was, obviously not hot enough because I will not be back. That is the Derek Carr I want to see for the New Orleans Saints. Last year in their division, we were trying to find a winner of the division to finally poke their head from underneath the ground and say, hey, we want to win the division. We want to go to the playoffs. Could the Saints be the team to beat in the NFC South? That's what I want to see. I want to see Derek Carr shaking things up and talking about it on those press conferences, talking about the Raiders letting them go in the fashion in which they did.
I love that. And I'm going to go beyond all these players. There is no player in the entire NFL that if this player is really good, it's more exciting than this player I'm going to point to right
who
here.
Who you got?
He was a first-round draft pick. We've never seen him. He is taking over the venerable franchise of the Green Bay Packers after 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. They're going to him. I don't know how he's going to play. You don't know how he's going to play. I don't know if Matt LaFleur knows how he's going to play. But I know there is not a more intriguing, more mysterious player at any position on any team. And if Jordan Love shows up and is like, I got it. I'm ready. I'm prepared. Like, I am really good. One, it's going to be an incredibly great story because I think he's a sympathetic figure in a lot of ways. And two, can you imagine the NFC North be like, I guess that's another 15 years of Hall of Famer. Make it 45 years. I want Jordan Love to go big, and I don't know if he will. We'll find out.
I thought about Jordan Love and going that direction, and I thought, well, shake things up. They're used to having a quarterback there that's doing sure really well, and they've been doing this for years and years. And then when I started to think about shaking things up fan base-wise, I started to think about Atlanta and Desmond Ridder, because it feels like it has been a really long time since that building was going nuts. And then we started to think about it. Since they moved into that brand-new, beautiful stadium down there in Atlanta, they've hosted national championships. Mm-hmm. They hosted SEC championships. Yep. They've hosted the Super Bowl. You know what they haven't hosted? A home playoff game for the Atlanta Falcons in their home, beautiful stadium.
Like that.
Think about this. The Atlanta Braves opened a brand new stadium. They went out and won a World Series, got to play in that stadium. We haven't seen that happen in Atlanta. And obviously, Arthur Smith had this offseason where he could have done some things, and he stuck with this guy and said, hey, I don't think we know a lot about Desmond Ridder, but clearly Arthur Smith thinks that this is the guy that could be the guy for them. They didn't want to bite on the Lamar Jackson scenario. So I'd like to see Atlanta hopping again.
Go for it.
And then the other thing is they were just a game back. It seems like they're so far back.
Yeah.
Every team in that division was just a game back of the Bucs who won the division. So everyone in that division is so close. All right, second step. Which quarterback will we be talking about the most midway through the season? Mike.
I'm going to cheat on this one. It's Jordan Love for many of the reasons that you just mentioned, Kyle, which is if he's great, that's going to be a storyline.
And
if he bombs, that's going to be a storyline. So the question is, midway through the season, we're going to be talking about Jordan Love no matter what. It's a fascinating storyline. I can't wait to see how it plays out. Even if the Packers aren't competitive, they're going to be something that is going to come up on this show.
You mentioned the word fascinating. There's a quarterback on this board that fascinates us.
Hell
yes. Anthony Richardson. Richardson. I feel like midway through the season, we're going to be talking about him. A lot of it is because of his athleticism and what he can do with the ball in his hands. Midway through the season, we're going to be saying one of two things. Wow, they hit it right with the fourth overall pick drafting Anthony Richardson because of what he can become and what his ceiling is. Or we might be saying, is he playing too soon? We knew going into the draft he might need some time to develop. Maybe the Colts put him out there too soon and it's not quite working out for Shane Steichen in that offense. But either way, I think midway through the season next year, we're going to be talking about Anthony Richardson because he's going to have some plays out there that's going to make us rewind time after time because it's going to be such a cool and athletic play.
I hope you're right. I can't wait to watch that. My choice about who we're going to talk about the most has this sort of he who shall not be named factor.
Oh, I know where you're going.
It's right here. Deshaun Watson. He's the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Guys, in all the conversation about Watson over the past year and a half, up, down, left, right, on field, off, one thing remains true. He's a spectacularly talented player who got on the field last year at the end of a very strange year for 50 different reasons, and it looked bad. It looked discombobulated. He has really good players around him. I really like Kevin Stefanski. No one's going to be hyping the Browns for more reasons than one. Fact is, guys, like, we are going to have to talk about the Browns and Deshaun Watson. It's going to be a relevant thing in the league, and I think he's going to be really good. He was awesome a couple of years ago. I mean, really, 3 years ago. And say what you want about anything that's going on with him. This is a football show. This is a football sport. And when he gets on the football field, he's really good. I think we will be talking about him. I think the Browns are a team that's going to sneak up on people next year.
Who are we going to be talking about midway through the season? Give me a quick touch, Jason.
Go ahead. There it is.
Give me a scenario. Give me a scenario where we are not talking about Aaron Rodgers. Give me a scenario where we can stop talking about Aaron Rodgers. You can't.
Doesn't exist.
Because they can be, the Giants could be 7-0. The Jets could be 2-5. Yes. And who are we going to be talking about? Which, by the way, is a real win for the Giants, I think, on this entire scenario.
Sure.
Because it takes the heat off them. It doesn't matter what this guy does. If he's brilliant, if he's terrible, like, we are never going to not be talking about Aaron Rodgers. And I'll give you another reason, as someone who has just been dealing with Tom Brady the last couple of years down in Tampa. I mean, it was Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not discounting Patrick Mahomes, but okay. In terms of the length of time and the credentials of where these guys have been. And now Tom has stepped away, and it's Aaron. There is no scenario we're not going to be talking Aaron Rodgers all the time. You guys know it. You can't escape it.
He'll probably come up in whatever topic you have next, and one of us will point to Aaron Rodgers. Let's find out.
Exactly.
I bet.
Third step. You guys celebrated Star Wars Day to the fullest yesterday. Right. Jason, you're going to love this. Which quarterback would you choose as your Rebel Alliance co-pilot in the fight against the Empire?
Let's
kick it off.
I'm looking up at these faces right here, and I see a guy that's already shown me it. And only 12 starts. 3 fourth quarter comebacks. Kenny Pickett.
Talk
put
about
that
it.
Green Ooh. Square around my guy right there. Boy. 3 fourth quarter comebacks in his rookie season. And look, the Steelers were 9-8. They were kind of a middling team for a while. And so we probably didn't pay enough attention to what Kenny Pickett did down the stretch. Great shot, kid. Don't get cocky. Is that the line right there? He didn't get cocky. He did it. He did it again. And this young man's quarterback's coach is Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan was the quarterback's coach for the New York Giants for Eli Manning, who mastered the fourth quarter comeback. So I'm sure Sullivan has imparted some stuff. But either you got it or you don't got it. And I need a guy who's going to be performing in the clutch. It's Kenny Pickett for me.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. Kenny Pickett, a guy I think that's going to be on the rise. And what is this? We're talking about something against an empire or something?
Rebel Alliance co-pilot.
Yeah, whatever that means. Yes. Today is Friday. We talked about the movie Friday a segment ago. And I'm going to go with Jimmy Garoppolo because in the movie Friday, you just got fired from your job. You have absolutely nothing to do. So you might as well go hang out and have a great time. So a Friday, today is Cinco de Mayo. Me and Jimmy Garoppolo, we're going to be in Vegas. And we're just going to hang out. Two guys on a Friday. We have absolutely no work, nothing to do on a Saturday. We're going to go out, paint the town red, have an absolute blast. I don't know about the empire striking back, but we will build our own empire out on the town.
Yeah, you
and we'll
will,
have
baby.
An absolute blast.
Jay, and Friday, I'm forgetting the name. Who's the woman across the street who's Smokey's like, oh man, she's got it. Miss something.
That's I know exactly what you're talking about. Ms. Jackson.
All right. So that's how I look at Jimmy.
Hey, Ms. Jackson.
Hey, Mr. Garoppolo. I hate to do this, guys, in the middle of the segment, but I actually kind of have a problem.
Ms. Parker. I'm sorry.
Ms. Parker.
Yeah.
Ms. Parker. I have a problem with the question. It's who would you want to be your co-pilot for a rebel attack? The war vessels of the rebellion are principally single-pilot vessels. There's really not a lot of co-pilots. Certainly, if you're talking about the attack on Death Star 1, it was principally X-Wings, which have no co-pilots, unless you're counting the droids. There were some Y-Wings, but in the Y-Wings, the co-pilot is optional. And then unless you're counting the Falcon at the end, it only comes in when all the fighting's been done. The question is a little bit off. There aren't really co-pilots in the rebellion, but this guy would understand. I'm picking him. You know why? Because this guy's classically trained on Star Wars. And when I say classically, he is episode 4 through episode 6 and a purist. And all this stuff with Anakin and Padme early on, all the stuff with Kylo, what's-his-face later, all this Mandalorian, all the stuff that Disney dumps on us and make us pay for, episode 4 through 6, two of which came out in the 1970s, he appreciates. He almost came out in the 70s too. I think he's like 1980. So he would get it. Rogers is my co-pilot, even though, as we know, the Rebel is a scrap of Rebels who are piecing together whatever assets they can. They don't have the luxury of the Empire to have the SUV of the warship. There's no co-pilot. It's a single pilot deal.
Coming up on GMFB, we have been reading up on these rookies. Which ones have the brightest future in the NFL? We're going to give you our picks later on.
Also, I don't think Rogers was born in 80. I think I just aged him by like 6 years, but you know what I mean.
He's about to turn 40, so 83?
There you go, 83.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.